to another episode of the Disney vs. Disney Debates, the podcast where we are going to figure out exactly what is the best Disney film of all time. I am your host and grandmaster, Zane C. Weber, and with me today I have two debaters here to tell me which is the better Disney film out of The Fox and the Hound or Mulan. But before we meet the debaters, I would like to welcome to the studio our fact checker of the day, Georgie Purdy.
Hello.
Georgie, can I ask you if you are 100% impartial in this debate?
100%. The facts come first. It's about the facts of it.
Choose a scientist. It's all about the facts.
All right.
As a scientist, I wouldn't be compromised by a bias, you know? It's just not possible.
Well, I can't guarantee that this test is going to be double blind, but we'll do our best.
Is there no placebo control? What's going to happen?
Okay, well, we have rolled a dice and we have decided that the movie that will be represented first is Fox and the Hound, and representing Fox and the Hound today is none other than returning debater, Kim Brown.
Greetings.
How are you, Kim?
Look, I have to say at this point in time I'm pretty knackered, but I'm also very excited. So that's about the extremes of my emotional range.
Do you have a long and deep history with this film?
Not as long as I have with many others, but I have recently become quite endeared with this film. So I'm looking forward to having a chat about it.
Yeah, well, I look forward to that. And opposing you today, once again, we're making a tradition of having a resident debater, is Stacey Hobbs representing Mulan.
Hidey-ho!
Now, Mulan is one of the strong contenders,
both in
her own movie and in this debate.
The pressure is on. I am feeling the pressure, I'm not going to lie. The heart is pumping. The blood is racing. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it.
Let's just straight to it.
Take that Band-Aid. Rip it off.
Okay, well, the format of this debate will be as such. We will start with a 3-minute opening statement from each of you, starting with Kim and Fox and the Hound. You'll get a warning tone at 2 minutes. No, that is applause. You'll not get any applause.
I'm doing so well already.
I've already got applause.
It's a cheerful applause to continue.
This will be your warning tone. And then at the end of your 3 minutes, you'll be cut off by Darkwing Duck saying,
"The jig is up, you jaded jug-headed jack-in-the-box."
And then we will pass over to Stacey. In round two, you'll have a 2-minute rebuttal with no warning, just cut off at the end. We'll take a small break. We'll come back with an open discussion and questions from me and Georgie. Mm-hmm. Then we'll take another short break and we'll come back with a 1-minute final summation or arguments. Then I will do some maths and discern which of these two films is the better Disney movie. Now, I have 5 criteria that I'm looking for: the memorable moments, the message, the movie magic, the magic music, and the final catch-all topic, that Disney touch. What has your movie done that no one else but Disney could achieve? So, we will be starting with Kim, and you will have 3 minutes with a warning at 2, and your time starts when you start talking.
The Fox and the Hound was a Disney film, clearly, released in 1981 and is the 24th Disney animated feature film. Now, it tells the story of two very unlikely friends, a red fox named Todd — I'm doing very well with language today — and a hound dog named Copper, who they struggle to preserve their friendship despite their emerging instincts and the surrounding social pressures demanding them to be adversaries. This film is just delightful and adorable. The way it starts, where we see the baby versions of Todd and Copper as little Bubby Fox and little Bubby Hound, just too adorable, which Disney does so well with the big eyes and everything. But this story is actually quite intense and extremely socially appropriate then and particularly now. I found this film really intense to start off with. Like, you think Bambi's intense? This ain't got nothing on the start of this film. And also towards the end, there is this intensely huge fight where both Todd and Copper take on this ginormous bear that's like Godzilla size. And but these messages are coming all the way through the film. They're two unlikely friends who just happen to be in the same place at the same time, and they don't see each other as different. They just see each other as fun next door neighbors. And And but of course, as they grow and their jobs, like Copper in particular, is being trained to be a hunting dog, and is taken out for sort of almost a whole year to learn the trade from his good friend Chief. And then he comes back, and of course his natural instinct is to hunt down and, you know, help kill Todd the Fox. And so it's just such a really intense story, but it's such a done in such a beautiful Disney way. What I really like about this film is that it's coming at the end of their sort of middle golden era. So there's a lot of animation and drawing and characters that are very similar in a lot of films that have come before. We see the fox. Applause already, guys! Please, contra applause. The fox, it looks very much like our Robin Hood fox that came earlier. We've got squirrels that are straight out of The Sword and the Stone. But I do want to talk about the music, so I'm going to get onto that right now. There is a little bit of music in this, but what I found really interesting is there is almost not a moment in the whole film that is not underscored. The music throughout and the tension that music creates is really intense. But there's a couple of songs that the fabulous old wise owl called Mama, Big Mama, that she sings. And the first one just basically narrates a little montage of them becoming friends, and it's fantastic. But the lack of education song is the best. And the tagline is education or elimination. And I just think it was amazing that they're having these discussions about you can't change Copper. Copper's what he is. And they're like, nah, we're going to be best friends forever because we're best friends now. And I think lyrically the songs in this movie are really bring home the message and make it amazing.
Up, you jaded jug-headed jack-in-the-box.
I don't know what I just said. Was it good? Was anyone listening?
3 minutes goes very quickly.
It really does.
It was about the right movie. So
good.
Oh, got that.
Check.
Okay, Stacey. So Kim has made a lot of points there. Mm. Now it goes to you, and you will have 3 minutes starting when you start talking.
Let's get down to business. Mulan is a 1998 Disney film based on the Chinese legend of Hua Mulan. The movie features a multicultural voice cast, including the talents of Ming Na Wen, Lea Salonga, Eddie Murphy, B.D. Wong, and George Takei. Now, Mulan explores themes such as family, duty, honour and love, as well as taking personal risks in order to protect loved ones. The movie also has a strong female protagonist who makes her own decisions and acts on what is right rather than what others tell her to do. She works hard to prove herself and earns the respect of several military leaders, including the emperor himself, and did so against the backdrop of a society that demanded subservience of its women. The movie is littered with memorable moments, such as the sweeping shots of the Great Wall of China at the start, Mulan slicing her hair to disguise herself, Xuan Yu's appearance on the war and the confrontation with the soldiers there who light the beacons, Mulan calling out for little brother as she was doing her chores, grandmother just casually walking through on the road, getting killed to try and test the lucky cricket. That whole honour to us all scene where Mulan is getting ready for the matchmaker and that whole train wreck interaction with her. Mushu impersonating the great stone dragon, so good. I'll make a man out of you and Mulan's journey to becoming just so good, so good. Mulan sending off the final rocket, which down the whole Han army and like mountain, so awesome. Her being discovered as a woman and Shang throwing the sword down. Oh, he's not going to kill her. He saves her life because she saved his. Han's popping out of the snow. Mulan saving the emperor in China. Mulan's father accepting her and doesn't even care about the accolades. He just loves. Oh, so amazing, so good. The animators wanted to incorporate a lot of Chinese art and architecture and landscapes into the film, so they did a number of trips to go and do that. And another of the animation, you can see these beautiful swirl-like effects and the calligraphy that's gone throughout. And they also developed a whole bunch of software, one of which called Attila, to help create these giant crowds and help the characters move autonomously. And they even featured an actual scene of people bowing, and then they animated it to fit into the foreground of the scene at the end there. The music is so amazing. Jerry Goldsmith provided the score, which mixed rich orchestrations with synthesized sounds, with beating drums perhaps, providing a heartbeat and tension to the scenes of war. The film featured 5 songs composed by Wilder and Zippel, and they are bangers, each one of them, such as I'll Make a Man Out of You, which is top 6 in the most streamed Disney songs of all time, Reflection, Onto Us All, and A Girl Worth Fighting For. The abrupt end to A Girl Worth Fighting For is a simple yet effective method of blending the comic and character-building moments with the harsh realities of conflict. Mulan was well-received by the critics and public, and it grossed $304 million. It got a Golden Globe and Academy Award nominations, and it won several Annie Awards, including Best Animated Feature and a whole bunch of individual ones for all sorts of peoples. And it also was the song Reflection was also nominated for Golden Globes Award. It was amazing. Turns legend into myth into an actual real story. It was amazing.
The jig is up, you jaded jugheaded jack in the box.
I got to buzz you out this time.
I think that's the first time you've ever had to buzz me, mate.
Mm. Well so
there
done.
There you go.
Hard to keep up.
It is.
All right, so
that's why I had to do warm-ups before I got here.
So we will move on to our second round, which is a 2 minute. I guess we're just going to say 2 minutes of why your opponent's film is not the best Disney film ever made.
Can we just skip this part? Get to the questions.
Unfortunately,
dang it!
Unfortunately, you are going to have to say something.
I'm
going to
take that as a point for me that my movie is so great.
All right, let me just get my whole page of notes. I'm ready.
Yeah, let's see what Kim has for us. Your time will start when you start talking, Kim.
Okay, this film has a lot of problems, really, because it really is a very American version of China and its culture. Unfortunately, one of the big standouts for me is the very stereotypical portrayals of a lot of the Chinese characters, the accents, the way they're spoken, the dialogue that they used. Some of them are quite comical, which in a caricature is fine, but when we're suddenly transporting ourselves into a completely different culture, that is probably one of the most opposite. You know, we sort of split the world into Eastern and Western, and it can become across quite problematic in that way. That said, as well, unfortunately, a lot of the leads have been sort of mentioned to be a bit more whitewashed. So Mulan's skin color is not as dark as everybody else's, and that what's his name? I can't even remember the good-looking dude. He was a
Shang.
Thank you. Shang. I'm really up on my Mulan character names. Has very chiseled jaw and all this sort of stuff, and they're looking quite Western, particularly in comparison to the caricatures of some of the other characters, like the Emperor and Chifu and all of these other ones. Look, at the end of the day, does this movie actually support women and what they can do, or does it really just enforce the gender stereotypes? The whole song of "Be a Man," while yes, it's very, very catchy, seems to suggest that all men and only men should be swift as a coursing river and have the force of a great typhoon, etc. Mulan then embracing these ideas and becoming the best soldier in the camp only shows that she became a man in order to do so, and instead of being able to perhaps embrace those characteristics in a feminine and female way. There's also, I'd like to make a point about the fact that Mulan does some really full-on crazy stuff. Like, she has a body count after her, and, she, you know, Disney seems okay with just killing people
up,
off.
You jaded jughead and jack in the box.
I wanted to get to the moral of that paragraph.
That's a very, a very good point, and I have made a note of it. So I guess we will get to that later, but we'll go on to Stacey and her 2 minutes of why The Fox and the Hound is not the best Disney film ever made. Stacey, your time will start when you start talking.
A lot of this is going to be my live stream of thoughts as I was watching the movie. So there you go. The tone for this movie, tone. What is this actually trying to say? It's kind of like, don't kill, but also all of them are predators. It's a really, really mixed bag. We've got Big Mama, who's an owl, who's a predator, who's suddenly like, oh no, the fox got this little fox that I would normally eat. Some reason I'm going to adopt it. I don't know. The terms, I mean, the neighbor, when he yells out widow to her at one point, there's guns everywhere, they're shooting everywhere, just casually shooting people driving along. That we have all this emotional investment in these animals, the animals that are just going to die. Poor Todd's mum killed, and then he just seemingly forgets that, like, seconds later. Okay, yeah, that's fine. There's a massive Game of Thrones moment in this movie where Big Mom's like, hey, let's look at these skins hanging on the wall. One of those is Todd's mum hanging up in this. It's like Joffrey showing Sansa her dad's head. It is harsh. That is harsh. And then we've got this whole thing about Coppercone trying to hunt his friend. That doesn't make sense at all, because at the end he's like, I'm going to protect him, but why are you doing it there? That's your mate. Then we got Chivu just straight up gets hit by a train and survives. That's just not even realistic. And then Copper somehow blames Todd. You were chasing Todd. He was defending himself. How is that? That's weird. That's a weird link, Disney. That's tenuous at best. then Todd's mum's just like, I'll just abandon you. I'll just push you in there to serve. Yeah, he doesn't know how to fend for himself because you fed him out of a bottle for his whole life. He's just going to die. Lady Fox is only in it for the looks. She's like, handsome, I'm in. The hunter's going to a reserve to kill innocent animals and setting up traps. That is so weird. And look, so sure, Copper saves Todd, but then he's going to spend the rest of his life killing Todd's kin. So what do we actually learn from this movie? What is the message? Who is this for? I don't know. I'm very confused.
All right, I almost got you again.
It was close.
Okay, yeah. Spirits are high. Before we go to our break, fact checker, are there any facts to check?
Well, I mean, our link between Joffrey and the head and Fox and the Hound.
No, that's accurate.
I mean, I don't know, it's quite on the same level.
It's on the same level.
I debate
spiritually,
that.
Emotionally, physically,
no,
same level.
No, don't think so.
All right, okay. Well, we'll
tenuous
take that,
at best.
We'll take that under advisement and we will be back after a quick break. All right, so it is time for the question and answer segment, and I have a question for both of you.
Wonderful.
Both of your films deal very heavily with death. Now, I would like you to spend a little bit of time talking about how your film does deal with it and why that is a good thing for your film to do. Like, we can make references to... like say Pixar's Up, where death is very prominent in the opening part of that, and then comes again to tail off. So Disney has lent into this theme. You mentioned Bambi, Stacey. So I would like just both of you to spend a little bit of time talking about the role that death plays in your film.
Am I starting?
Yes.
Okay, great.
You chose to go first.
I did choose to go first. I think, as I mentioned, the stakes of this movie are pretty high. It starts with dogs just barking nonstop all the way through the opening credits, and I actually found that really intense. It was kind of this moody vision, and of course, in the old school ways where they had all the credits rolling, you know, for a good 3 or 4 minutes before the story actually starts. And then, but the whole time there's these barking dogs, and then you see this beautiful fox, and she's got something in her mouth, and you don't know what it is. And then, you know, I feel like she kind of realizes that it's me or the child. It's either we both die or whatever. So she, you know, plants her little baby fox near the farmhouse, and then 2 seconds later she runs off and there are just 2 gunshots and that's all you hear. And it's just like, I just remember sitting there going, oh my God, just what happened? And thankfully they then cut to Big Mama, whose face says, oh my God, what just happened? And then we of course meet Todd the Fox. And I think by the time we get to the end of the film that it is a life or death situation that Copper and Todd face themselves in. The hunter is trying – he is so hell-bent revenge on getting this particular fox, not just any fox, but this particular fox, because of what happened to Chief, that, you know, there's a very high chance that the hunter could actually shoot Copper to get to this fox. It seems to be that intense. And I think – you know, if you're going to send a message home to people, is that sometimes standing up in the harshest of situations is the one that's the most valuable to do so. I do think the film kind of glimmers over the fact that he is a hunter and they spend a whole winter filling a wagon full of pelts. Sure, that's just what you do. Whereas we kind of look at that and go, oh God, that's so distressing. But I think if it was just... I was actually reading a bit about that there was a lot of controversy in the studio. This film took a long time to make because there were so many arguments between and a lot of animators and filmmakers and, you know, producers came and went on this particular production. And one of the contentious points was originally in the novel that it's loosely based on is that Chief is actually killed. And so that then raises those stakes for Copper and the Hunter.
And that makes more sense.
And it
as
makes
to
more
why
sense.
Copper blames Todd.
But then, you know, some of the execs were like, that's not a Disney thing to do. We don't do that. Of course, later they now kill everybody. You know, it was just...
Not everybody.
Just, I was going to say, no,
parents,
just Mulan
usually.
Takes all the Huns out, but it's fine. And so they sort of, I guess you could say, Disneyfied it by putting Chief in a broken leg cast and making sure that the kids realised he wasn't dead, which I don't know why Chief dying was less distressing or more distressing than the Mama Fox. I don't know. You know, I think it raises the stakes in this film, and I think that's what makes their relationship and the actions that both of them take, the fact that Todd comes back to help Copper fight the bear, and then that Copper steps in front of the hunter's gun to save Todd at the end of the film. I think if there wasn't that level, the stakes wouldn't be there.
All right. That is a good answer.
Thanks.
Mm. Now, let's deal with the princess with the highest body count in the Disney canon.
Yeah.
Look, now she's proud of it.
Yeah. Well, look, both of these movies do have a theme of death and centre around death. My problem with Fox and Hound is I think it's too ambiguous and there's no real clear outcome there. For Mulan, I mean, it's a historical story. Yes, did it really happen or not? Whatever. But it's in a time and a place, and we live in a world where there are wars. That is a thing that happens. We don't like it, but it happens. And I think, part of the driving force for Mulan was to hide herself as a man to save her father from death. So her first, one of the very first motivating actions we see from her is that I want to save my family. I want to help my family, save my family from death. So I'm going to put myself at risk to save him because he is certain death. Mm-hmm. At least her death was a little bit less certain, but his was certain. He was old. He was injured. It was going to happen. Yes, there is a lot of death in the movie, but the movie was very clear about this is an invasion. China did not set out to be in a war. They didn't want to fight people. They didn't want to kill people. They were being invaded. And that enemy was very, very, very clear about the fact that they were going to kill everybody. From the very start when Shan Yu is there, he starts killing off soldiers. There's a whole scene later on where it's like, how many people need to take a message? Only one. You know, it's very clear that these guys mean business, and it's kill or be killed in this movie.
Yeah.
Yes, Mulan has a high body count. I think the way she does it is the least bloody way that it could possibly be done. It's very Disney-fied way. Like they all drown in the snow or suffocate in the snow, and then a few little daisies pop out. But yeah, there is a lot of death, but I think that death has a place, and I think you also see the reality of death. So when they find the village and it's been destroyed, and Mulan takes the beautiful little doll, and Shang is mourning the loss of his father, it becomes and to come off this big crazy like song where like, yo, we're gonna go fight, and ho, ho, ho. I mean, it's like World War One, where they all enlisted thinking it was going to be this grand adventure, and then went and saw actually the reality of that is not. So I think it's a very strong message about the disadvantages of war and the impact of war and the price of war.
Absolutely.
And the price that people pay to protect the people they love because of war. So I think the way Mulan handles it is very clear cut, and you can really see those messages very clearly. I don't think that was done as well in Fox and the Hound. I think it's still very confused. And yeah, sure, Copper saved Todd then, but he's like, I'm going to give up hunting forever? No, like that's, he hasn't really learnt anything ongoing from
that. Yeah, okay. So I have a question just for Stacey now, because Kim actually dealt with it in her answer around death is the source material and its relation to the film.
Yeah.
So can you speak a little bit to about the original story of Mulan versus the movie version of Mulan and the changes that Disney chose to make?
It's interesting, the changes, because it's hard to know what actually happened because there's so many different
it's a versions. Folk tale.
Yeah. So, but the sort of one that they're like, we think this is the correct one, is that Mulan was actually pretty awesome to begin with. Like, she didn't need to go to the camp. She was already a boss. Like, she was already, she could already ride horses. She was already a very skilled warrior.
She was Merida.
Yes.
But
yes.
In China.
So she was already Merida. Like ready to go, boom. And so it wasn't really a thing. For her to go to war instead of her dad, it was kind of like, yep, well, I'm ready to go, off I go. And yes, she disguised herself as a male, and the war went for a long time. It was like decades long. And then they all knew she was a woman, really. Like, it was like not very good at hiding it.
After she won some honor, she became. Yeah. So I guess what I want you to talk about is why Disney to make it about her pretending to be a man and that relationship.
So I think part of it was there had to be stakes. So we've talked a lot about stakes in the film. for – it was already a stake for her to put her life against her father's essentially and, mm-hmm. and save her father. So I think they changed that part of the story so that she – for her to make that decision was a bigger risk and she had to do more to do that. The hiding is set up in a society where – and it's very clear at the start about what women did in this society – women get beautiful, they get married, they serve men. That's really clear. And they didn't hide from that at all in the film. Yeah. And I think the reason that she had to stay hidden because if she didn't, they would kill her according to the laws of the land. So it wasn't so much that she's like, I have to be a man to do this. It was like, I have to pretend to be a man. I'm definitely going to get killed. And I think the reason that they played it that way, and the reason that she was revealed before the war was won was to show that though this society does not accept women, and you can see at the end when she's trying to get help and they're all not listening and she's like, what happened to me? She's like, you're a girl again. Like, they're deliberately making the point of in this society, women are not given the same respect, yet she continues to fight and continues to make choices, and she shows that she is worthy of that respect. And the emperor shows that all of China – you know, it acknowledges that. It doesn't do – it probably could have done a little bit better to show, like, if that had any trickle-down effects or whatever. But I do think it showed that she, despite the challenges – and we live in a society that has very similar challenges, if not the same, about the expectations of women and women's roles. Despite that, she rose above that and became this – awesome. And she persisted, even when it was hard, even when they didn't believe her, even though it risked the friendships.
Hashtag she persisted.
She persisted.
All right, excellent.
Can I counter argument?
You
just
can.
A little
please,
moment.
Please.
I almost got to it in my rebuttal, and then I was really cut off by Darkwing Duck. He's so rude.
So rude.
But
he can hear you.
I know. I'm watching you, Darkwing. You just hang back there. Does the end justify the means? And so there's this idea that in her society, and I guess the rules and the structures that have been made, in essence, she runs away from home, she impersonates a soldier, she deceives her commanding officer, she dishonors the Chinese army, kind of destroyed the emperor's palace, but she won. So therefore it was all forgiven. And there's, you know, that question of, well, what if she didn't win? What if nobody listened to her? What if nothing happened and more death and destruction? Does that, you know, yeah, but she was brave and she persisted.
I'll counter with that if Mulan was a male, would we even ask that question? Because how many movies are out there, not just including Disney, where a male blows everything up and gets a medal? Like, I think women have to fight that much harder to justify.
If I had a dollar for every time I was given a medal for blowing something up.
But that's my issue is that, look, the fact that we have Mulan, the fact that this was a movie from the 90s that was showing such a strong woman who wasn't motivated by a love interest, like that it was about family and doing the right thing and up and going against an entire society who just told her that she couldn't.
And that's the point that I wanted you to make.
Yeah, it's all about her identity. I mean, reflection is all about who am I? Who am I as a person? I'm conflicted. I'm told I have to be one thing, but I feel like I'm another.
And unfortunately, To Kill a Mockingbird, to write about the evils of racism, you have to portray racism.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
To fight against the evils of misogyny, you have to portray misogyny.
Yeah, and
who's fighting against evils on here, Mr.
I
got there naturally.
That's Stacey direct question that I asked.
I know. It's a very directive question, I mean, it was there.
Well, sass aside, let's take another little break and we'll come back with the final summations. All right, so we're back for our final round, which is a one-minute summation and final arguments from both of our debaters, starting with Kim defending Fox and the Hound. Kim, your time will start when you start talking.
Look, The Fox and the Hound is adorable and it actually has some really incredible messages through the story. And I think if in the current climate of Disney remakes, this is a film that needs to be remade because the messages are so pertinent today and I think would actually be really hard-hitting and just amazingly done by today's Disney. But I think just being able to, really hit up the messages of this film and the adorable characters and how naive Todd can be. I also forgot to mention earlier that it features the amazing talents of Mickey Rooney and Kurt Russell as Todd and Copper, which was amazeballs. And I'm moving on. But just as I said, lyrically in some of the songs, I was really emotional about the song Lack of Education, where they're trying to school Todd on here's the real world facts, sunshine, and it's the idea that it's education or elimination. And currently being an educator, I was like, oh, I should take that to school. the idea
is up, you really? Jaded jughead, jack in the box.
1 minute is all you get.
It's a good film, watch it.
It is a good film. If you haven't watched it, you should go and watch it after this debate. Okay, Stacey, 1 minute to say everything that you've got left to say about Mulan. Your time starts when you start talking.
This movie is Disney perfection, where it has magic in it, waves this magic wand, and it creates this legend and this myth and makes it real, makes it relatable. It has an incredible multicultural cast where we go on this journey of self-discovery and empowerment with Mulan, where she makes these choices for herself despite her challenges and becomes this incredibly strong female empowerment figure, which is actually going to be made into a live-action remake, and I'm super excited. It's going to come out on my wedding anniversary next year. Woohoo! And it's still poignant today. I actually use this with my grade sevens history class, and watching them enjoy it as much as I enjoyed it at their age was so incredible. And I think this is a timeless movie. I think it's got some brilliant, incredible moments. It's a beautiful film to watch. It's so memorable, and the songs are so catchy. They are so catchy. I've been singing. I started with the life first line of the song, and we've all been singing it ever since. You can't deny that, fact checker, because you're one of the people doing it.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It should win.
The jig is up, you jaded jughead and jack in the box.
All right, well,
I didn't do my token like last 2 second point.
Before I
was waiting for another song lyric, quite frankly.
I forgot. I panicked. Next time.
Before I get to counting my scores, fact checker, one last check. Is there anything that has been said that needs to be taken into account?
The only interesting fact I've got, whether anyone cares about it or not, is that there was initially the China doll was the initial inspiration, which was about a Chinese girl whisked away by a British Prince Charming to happiness. Mm. And it was that story that they combined with a poem about Fa Mulan, which was the initial point, kind of brings in then that why kind of more of that female aspect was there.
Absolutely.
And much more Disney take on it, and kind of makes sense why they've kind of jammed the two together now.
Excellent.
Found that interesting. Mm.
So while I do my math, I encourage both of our debaters to spend some time talking about what they like about their opponent's film.
Mulan rocks. This has been emotionally draining.
Yeah.
Being a girl who was always a tomboy and wanted to do all of the things that boys did but was told I couldn't because I was a girl. And then, I got older and I was a singer and I couldn't hit the high notes, so therefore I never got girl parts. I was witches and boys. And I just – Mulan really spoke to me in my childhood in the 90s. And I was be a man. It was great. And Reflection was one of the first solos I ever sang at school. So, I have so much connection to this film. I don't know why I didn't pick it earlier in the debate list when I had the chance. But anyway, because I love Aladdin.
It's a toss-up.
And, when we come face-to-face in the finals with Aladdin versus Mulan, it's going to be hell to pay. I love this movie. And I love that Disney were going out of their comfort zone and doing featuring a different culture, and we had different characters. Mm. And it was, it wasn't the fairy tale princess. And it was just so freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And Fox and the Hound is not all bad. it was lovely, and it was a very real relationship too. I mean, we talked about the stakes, and it is confused because they are all predators essentially. So it's kind of like it's okay to kill one but not the other. But it is that real friendship where, you know, you might form a friendship with someone and then you found out later that you have different religious views or you have different views on whatever it is, and all of a sudden you've got some contention in that relationship and something that might drive that relationship apart. And I think that's a really powerful message as far as, like, how can you, even though that friendship might not be able to continue the same way, how can you find peace and resolution in that friendship?
I was rewatching it in the last week or so, I was reminded of this post that was on Facebook, social media at some point, of these two, like, grade one or two kids in America, and they decided to get the same haircut so that they would fool their mothers into thinking they couldn't tell them apart.
Yes.
And one child is a Caucasian and one is an African American, and they cannot see
that there is a difference.
Their skin color is different. And it is the one of the, and it's like, kids don't learn this. And that's what I love about this film is it shows us that as babies, as puppies and little fox, these two animals don't see any, they see each other as anything but playmates.
Yeah,
and I love
friends.
That the first time Copper meets Todd is that he's just sniffing out this new smell.
I know, it's so adorable.
He's like, I'm smelling something. What is it? And he's like, oh, it's you. Okay, want to play. And it's just, it's that idea that everybody else is telling Todd and Copper what they can and can't do.
Yeah.
You know, is that, oh God, I should have said all of this an hour ago.
Yeah, I was like, this is really good material.
I was just checking that Zane wasn't adding any more points onto his scorecard.
I was writing stuff down and just go from your emotions.
Yeah. But it's a lovely, it's a very lovely
film. But there's a lot that lets it down, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think talking off cans about how powerful that movie would be made if it was made again.
Yeah. I feel like
and that chief death, I think that, and that was, I was like, that doesn't make sense where he's like, I'll get you for this.
Yeah,
like for what? Like,
That they've done like Mufasa death.
Yeah.
You know, that really raised the stakes, I think, for Disney.
For the deaths after
and
that.
The stakes that are in that.
Yeah.
Because I just was like, not actually dead, like he's just sleeping, right? Yeah. Doing that again
Dad,
today.
Wake up.
Yeah. Well, stop it.
Get up now, Dad.
I'm
going to cry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to trigger everyone.
Everyone's sobbing so uncontrollably triggered. Now.
Okay, I have locked in the numbers. And there is a definite winner.
Oh, super duper.
Stop saying it like that, Zane.
He's got a face.
What topic, what category would you like to hear about first?
Whatever you want to tell us.
I'm going to let Georgie pick.
Oh, you're talking to Georgie. Sorry, I'll show
you. Sorry, this isn't about you.
Clearly.
Let's go with the message first.
All right.
I want to hear about the message.
So the message, you both had a lot to say. You were literally just covering everything that the Fox and the Hound said about friendship and about the way that we are pure when we're young, but we're taught to hate people for whatever reason, and that huge metaphor that plays out. It's really a timeless thing. And Mulan, whether it's constructed or not, it gives girls and women such a great role model. This one went to the Fox and the Hound by 1 point. Ooh. And I think it's just because of the Americanization critique, as well as the body count.
Death count.
Point form, Mulan.
Well, I think the body count was a point in the movie magic, in that Disney took a big step in the plot. So we'll go on to the movie magic, which this one did go to Mulan. I think Mulan is a very well-crafted film. Such a great cast, but I mean, Kurt Russell and Mickey Rooney did fantastic voice acting job, but you had Harvey Fierstein, you had Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I can't believe Eddie Murphy didn't come up more in your debate. I was really disappointed by it.
He was actually my letdown. I hated his
Mushu's voice.
I love the character, but I was just like, oh, it's so American.
Well, this is his first one, I'm pretty sure.
It annoyed me.
So anyway. Movie magic did go to Mulan. Disney touch. This one, quite clearly, went to Fox and the Hound.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I think, again, you were speaking about the actual process that they went through to and the choices they made to Disney-fy it and what Disney was and Disney wasn't at that point and why it is kind of held up because of maybe not taking those big steps allowed them to tell this story where if they made it a bit darker, it would have been a bit too real and not reached the children audience. Mulan, you did give me a couple of good points, but I think this is a nebulous category at heart.
It's a bit of everything.
I think Kim just spoke a little bit more about the Disney effect on the Fox story. And the Hound.
Yeah.
Memorable moments. This might be the highest scoring category ever for Mulan getting 13 memorable moments points.
Yes.
Just you started off early boom, and boom, strong.
Boom. I was like, I got to get them out there.
Absolutely.
And good or bad, they were memorable. Yeah. You definitely got a point in this for the reveal of the burned village and then also with that firecracker that destroyed the Hun army.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
Mulan is full of these not only quotable moments but really emotional moments.
Everything Mushu does is a moment.
And you just forget everything's how many, a moment. Until you watch it again, how many are jammed packed in such a short amount of space.
Yeah,
because it's like boom, 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 boom. Like, oh man, oh, I forgot, oh man. It's just, there's so many of them.
Yeah. Can't argue with any of that.
So, and neither of you had any negatives against either of your films in that category. No. It's just like you, I think it's just Stacey just like, Mulan had all of these things that you need to recognize and remember. Which brings us to the final category, the music.
Yeah.
Now, Fox and the Hound, you brought up a lot of great songs, and I think that it is one of the most underrated for singable songs in the Disney canon.
Yeah, see, I found them like on sort of, I guess, a first listen. I know I've watched it as a kid, but watching it in the last week, I found the songs unmemorable. But when I listened to the lyrics, I was like, holy crap, that's an amazing message and that's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And I wish the songs were more memorable and singable. But
and that constant underscoring as well, which that is was something really that intense. Disney's worked on since then. And I think with a film that is so dark, you do need that support telling you that things are either going to be okay or that things are just continuing on.
Yeah, going to get worse.
A little bit of an indicator. What's
Mulan,
happening.
Of course, though, has reflections and I'll make a man out of you, et cetera, et cetera. There was one point in this category and it goes to Mulan.
Yeah.
Woo! Making Mulan the winner. Mulan is the better Disney film.
Oh, I didn't let it down. I mean, I said I wasn't biased, but I mean, we know what I was hoping for.
We've said it before. There's always going to be a winner, and Disney wins because Disney is
the winner.
Well, all I can hope is that someone is listening to this debate and will go and watch Fox and the Hound for the first time.
Yeah, do it.
Because it's such a great film, and I forget every time after I watch it how good it is until I watch it again.
Yes,
I feel like I need to rewatch it now.
Mm. It is beautiful to look. It's just really lovely to look at.
I got teary in multiple moments.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's really the first time that Disney did that.
Yeah.
Really kind of pulled those heartstrings.
Yeah.
So if you think I've made the wrong decision, and I'm sure some people do, there will be a Facebook poll up on our Facebook page and you can vote for which film you think deserved to win this debate. Mm. And if Fox and the Hound takes out Mulan in that by more than all of the other social media winners that we've had.
Really complicated now.
There's like an algorithm.
I found that I'm not picking the popular movie most of the some of the time.
Yeah.
It's about 50-50 at the moment.
That's interesting.
So if you are a gun ho Fox and Hound, and
start
a petition, share that vote.
Get your friends to vote.
Hand out flyers.
Get on those interwebs and go.
You've got
for
a week to do it.
You got 1 week, and then if it wins by enough, then it will go through to the second round as a wild card entrant. Yeah. If you want to get in contact with us, we are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are on Twitter. You can also find us at thatsnotcanon.com/Disney vs Disney. And you can send us an email at disneyvsdisney@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Kim, for fighting valiantly for Fox and the Hound.
It's my pleasure.
And thank you, Stacey, for fighting again and winning for Mulan.
Oh, woohoo! No one's going to stab me.
Except me. Oh, wait.
And thank you once again to Georgie Purdy for fact-checking us right
you
through to the
welcome.
End.
You are welcome.
Thanks, Georgie.
And until next time, everyone, where we are back, same time, same place with a new debate, keep watching Disney.
What should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainzi Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Gunner Productions podcast.